So, my name's Pam. Thanks for the opportunity to be here tonight. I'm a little nervous. It came through and I've done everything. So I pretended like I didn't care and I'll just trust the higher power to attempting to write a very important, you know, spiritually inspiring talk that I proceeded to fall asleep while I was attempting that. So to just getting on my knees in the bathroom and asking higher power to take over. So I will admit it is hard. I was talking to a friend on the way here that I came in to program probably a long time ago, a couple of decades actually at this point. I was about 30, and my mother had passed away the year before, and when that happened, I wondered, well, you know, what's going to happen now? Who's going to love me? And that is not at all how I thought I was going to start the conversation. So I was 30, and I was about emotionally, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years old. It was a really horrific time. I was binging and drinking heavily and absolutely no voice, no sense of who I was whatsoever. So it was soon after, about a year after that, I attempted to be fat and happy. That didn't work. And what finally got me in here was I had tried everything. And I'll give you a little backstory in just a few seconds, but I had tried that place where you go and you weigh in every day, except for the weekends. So I would be very successful because I've always been other motivated, you know. I was a good girl, so I would do all the right things. I'd have some weight loss, and then the weekends would come. I'd binge and have no idea why. Show up on Monday morning with a pound gain, and, you know, with those thin people looking at me quizzically, like, you were doing so well. And I would just burst into tears. I had no explanation for what was going on. I just knew I couldn't stop eating. So for me, I grew up in a family. There was five of us. I have two older brothers, both my parents were living at the time, obviously in my childhood. And both of them, I will say, you know, they were addicts also, drinking problems. And my mother and I, through junior high, my father would often be away for business. We were eating buddies. We definitely had some routines that we did and looked forward to things. And cans of fudge would be in the refrigerator with a spoon in them. Just all you had to do was stop by and take a spoonful. And that was just reasonable in our family. I started at a very early age. So, you know, my mom, my brothers are 7 and 9 years older, so they were pretty rambunctious. I came along, and honestly, I don't think my mom had much space for much in her life. So it was, I just, at an early age, you know, there's a great book for those of you, I mean, I know most, have you read it? I think it's in the AA book, the 12 and 12, where it talks about our instincts. It talks about the four steps. This makes me feel so sad telling you this. Whew. Those are just basic instincts. We have basic instincts that go awry. And, you know, none of this was my fault. You know, none of it, like whatever it is and for all of us. But so I just turned to other sources. Food, I started with food at a very early age as a source of comfort. I turned to my brother and to my father for a source of comfort. And I will say for a while it worked. You know, it really did. I had a lot of fun sometimes, but then it just turned and both of them took advantage, you know, were sexually abused. Now, I didn't know that when I came here. I knew something was off because of my track record, but I really thought, honest, you know, I tell you this, I really thought all I had to do was be thin. I really thought that that was the answer. I'm not just saying that because I'm in an OA meeting. God honest truth, you know. So my whole life, I was thinking about bringing pictures, and then I forgot. If I was here, you'd see pictures of me as a little girl. I was plump, but not obese by any stretch of the imagination. And there's a photo I found of when I was clearing out a couple of years ago of sixth grade. And I actually was reasonably sized for a sixth grader. Everyone else started getting taller, and I did not. But if you had asked me, or if I was to have drawn a picture of how I thought I looked at sixth grade, it would have just been this enormous blob. You know, the feeling of shame about my body and the shame about myself was just, that too started at an early age. And then eating just kept it going, staying overweight. Not that I was purposely trying to be overweight, but, you know, and then I went with my mom to get the 6X. Do you remember 6X? Oh, God. And, you know, don't wear plaids, don't wear stripes going around. And mind you, I had these two brothers who were football captains, you know. And we'd all have steak on Saturday mornings. I know these are the things you remember as a kid. But more importantly was just the shame. I mean, I have such vivid, vivid memories of sitting around the table and desperately wanting to have dessert, desperately wanting to have a X. And then just, you know, I was 6, 7 years old, because both my brothers were there. And, oh, but you don't want dessert, do you? You know, that whole attitude of just shame, shame, shame. So, and then it just became part of, it just was part of my DNA, that literature talks about when the light switch goes off. And I remember, and I've shared this story before, of being in seventh grade, and we didn't have Costco's back then, you know, so nothing, you couldn't buy things in bulk. But my neighbor, her parents had a store anyway. I asked her to buy me a box of these little things that would be like penny candy. And, okay, so we're talking 50 years ago. I can tell you how I felt at the excitement of knowing I was going to have this box all to myself. So for me, with program, I have a love-hate relationship. I should have introduced myself. Hi, I'm Pam, and I have a love-hate relationship with OA because, you know, this has never been my friend, it really. I've struggled a lot in program. And so let me just say that, you know, I plumped. I got 10 more pounds in high school. And, I mean, again, and I've shared this before, like who you saw or what you saw on the outside was nothing like how I felt on the inside. So there's always the smile on my face or silence, either one. Like I just had no voice when it came. I could make you laugh. I could have an entertaining voice. But in terms of you knowing how I really felt or what I was really thinking, you know, mum's the word. That's, you know, I didn't even know a lot of the times, but that's not true. I knew. So I went off to college, and I wanted to be the person I always wanted to be, which was loved by everybody, a very career goal-oriented, you know, which didn't. So that it had some moments where I received that affirmation. But inside I was just, I didn't believe people. The literature also talks about how being honest, open-minded, and willing. I have a lot of willingness, but honesty and open-mindedness are probably the two factors of that equation that I have a hard time with, and being honest with myself and open with myself and others. And so I got very religious. That helped, and so the chasm just got wider and wider. You know, I was well-respected and liked on the outside and on the inside. I was just dying. I was like, oh, fine. And so I finally did get introduced to OA, probably in my mid-20s. I used to be obsessed by anyone who was my height and, like, a reasonable size. I would just follow them. And so it was a church, actually, and this, a couple of these women had been in OA. So I went to my first meeting, and it was in Cambridge, and it was, I felt like I was a deer, you know. I was just like this. I don't even know if I breathed. I must have, but for that whole hour, and I sat in the back. Whew. And the thing about it was, there was just this little crack that opened up of, wow, they do that? You know, it was like the first time I ever heard someone kind of share what I did with food. And it was the beginning, just because it's taken a long time, to just, you know, open up to never being alone again. Like, for me, this disease of, I ate in secret. I mean, it's not like people didn't know, because I would gain weight, but I didn't think it people knew, because I didn't eat in public. Like, I was definitely a sneak eater. I did not get into bulimia. I just have always been an over person. So I lost my train of thought because I don't like being vulnerable with you guys, but I do, but I'm nervous. You can tell I'm a little nervous, so I nothing to be apologized for. So I'm a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and so for the first 5 years, when I came back, it took me 4 years, and those 4 years between the first meeting I went to and when I came back, and it was here in Brookline, were awful. Those years, the chasm was, I was successful at work, and I told a friend on the way over here, and that success meant sometimes I slept on the floor because we were workaholics. Oh, good. Is that 20 minutes? Oh, my. All right, well, it only gets better from here. Oh, my God. Am I as red as I feel?
Yes.
Holy Toledo. Wow. So those 4 years were just hell on wheels. I was hell on wheels. I could have killed a toddler running across the street because I had my hand in a bag of stuff, and my first sponsor used to call it the Crumbmobile, and that sure was the case for me. But anyway, I've shared this before, so I don't need to go into all the details. But I knew on some level it was body, mind, and spirit, because I was, you know, religious, so I knew prayer had something to do with it. I just knew if I could be locked away for 3 months, it would solve it all. So anyway, I came back to OA, and the first speaker was my height and you know, reasonable size. And so that was like the beginning of a journey that has been quite a journey. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. We all walked around with quarters in our pockets. And or dimes, I guess.
Dimes.
And I met her at the Dunkin' Donuts. And, you know, I had a horrible thing of being late all the time. And I called her. I said, I just have to make a phone call. So here I'm at Dunkin' Donuts. I hope that's okay to mention the name. And I'm calling her, hi, I'm here, you know. And it's just crazy. But you just went to any lengths. You went to any lengths because I had never not... I couldn't stop eating, and I couldn't stop eating from when I was a little kid. So it was a miracle for me to be able to go through the first day and not binge. I didn't even know the word binge. But so I was on a really a very structured plan. It was pretty clear, and my abstinence was defined by what I ate. You know, refraining from compulsive overeating, what really wasn't it. As long as I followed a food plan, that's all that mattered. And so I was high on life. I had never been thin, ever. I was in my early 30s, so it worked for about six, almost up to 8 years. I dated in a way that I had never dated. Just to tell you how shut down I was, this really wonderful guy when I was in my 20s we were at Star Market, and he pulled a flower out, a rose out from behind his back, and he gave it to me, and I said, oh, what's that for? Mm. It's like, wow. 30 years later, we reconnected just by chance, and I was able to say, wow, I apologize. You know, I was able to make an amend because I didn't know. I was completely incapable of being open to love. So here I was. I showed up to OA, and I had a blast those first 5-6 years. I felt like I was the poster child. I loved going and saying, I can wear the same clothes I wore last summer, and I could never understand how anyone could have a relapse. My whole life, I had desperately wanted to be thin, and here I was, and how could anyone have a relapse? So that ability that I had of keeping secrets lasted for about 15 years in program. And not that people didn't know, because I gained weight, but the depth to which I was confused, frustrated, scared, lonely, I didn't share because I couldn't, you know. I had to be whatever I thought I had to be. So, you know, coming to pro, you know, being able, opening up to you and to the higher power and the 12 steps, you know, it just started. It's taken a long time. This was about 3 years ago that I really, I think, surrendered. Because once again, I was standing in front of the candy counter, wondering what's going to do it for me this time. And, you know, I really thought that, as I said, you know, being thin was going to be it. So I didn't think that what happened back then was in any way had really impacted me. I mean, that's how much denial I had. So it's taken a long time to just slowly love all parts of me, love all things. I was talking to a friend on the way over here about, in the promises it says we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. And sometimes, you know, I have those little moments of regrets. Oh, if only, but it's just my magical thinking. Oh, if only I hadn't da-da-da-da-da-da, then things would have been different. They couldn't be different. You know, I am who I am today. This beautifully warm face is who I am today, and I am overweight. And that was never okay. It was never okay. You know, nothing mattered because I was still overweight. And to be able to break through to that and just say, yeah, you know, I'm a complete and whole human being, you know, this, I'm loved by this power greater than myself. And just that surrender a couple of years ago, honestly, up until that point, OA was a diet for me. I was still controlling, thinking that I had it on a moral issue. You know, I should be able, we're wrapping up, right? Okay, perfect. I'll end soon. I was the just to be who I am and to be able to have my eyes wide open, be able to look at you, you know, in the eye, and be able to say, it's wonderful to be an imperfect. You know, I don't even like to use the word imperfect because that implies there's perfect. Just a human being, you know, that. So kind of to go back, I don't think I really talked about that piece of the fourth step in the AA book where it talks about just our basic needs. That's where I stumbled for so long because I didn't believe it was okay. Like, if you've been squashed early on because you had these basic needs and it's been distorted as to how you're going to get those met, then, you know, it's hard. It's hard to kind of stay open to what is really loving and kind and generous. So those basic needs are and wants and desires are fine. It's who we are. It's who I am. I think you too, but I can only speak for myself. And I mean, for me, spirituality was, if I wasn't Mother Teresa, then you're not spiritual. You know what I mean? I went through a phase where, you know, food was just fuel. And I was on a date once, and he looked at me like, what is your problem? This is delicious. Just enjoy it. But I couldn't. You know, no pleasure. Can't do anything that would stir up that aliveness in me, in my humanity. So I don't know if this is, I think I need to wrap up because I'm feeling like I'm not really following a train of thought here. But I want to just say how grateful I am that you accepted me back 3 years ago. It's kind of how it felt. But it was really hard to admit that I needed help. And but it was, there. Someone once said there's a difference between surrender and submission, and I know that that's a growing edge for me because I still don't get it. But I had submitted to, I guess, all the rules and regulations that I had perceived OA to be. I'm just so grateful today that that's not it. You know, there's not rules and regulations, but I did receive this amazing toolkit. And I will say that what I learned in the beginning about, you know, not that there's, I do it all the time, but making calls and writing the gratitude list and going to meetings, and if you miss a meeting, go to an extra meeting, that was the foundation to a life that I have today that taught me, it gave me an opportunity to grow up. Like, I didn't know you could weigh and measure life. You know, I didn't know I could say no. I didn't know I could say yes. You know, you can do these things. And I learn with you guys. And so I'm grateful for my journey here. It hasn't been easy. I have felt a lot of shame over the years, but I'm grateful today that, I don't know, I'm pretty lucky. I have a pretty full life. I got a lot of love in my life. And I'm still single and still a little overweight. So surprise, you know, who knew? Like my goal was not at all what I thought was going to bring me happiness. But anyway, I thank you so much for the opportunity. Obviously, this has been the most nerve-wracking 20 minutes I've had in a long time. So thank you for that opportunity. And if you got anything from it, great. And if not, don't hold it against me.